Hello, everyone. Welcome to Christian Professionals Network. My name is Chinwe Okpala. I have the privilege of being the convener of this platform where we raise, teach, train ethical and excellent Christian professionals who will rise, thrive, take over their respective industries and workplaces by practically applying Bible-based principles. So today I'm going to be talking about a very interesting topic that I choose to title Arrive Though Exhausted. And we're going to be reading from the book of 2 Samuel chapter 16, from verse 5 all the way to 13. And I'm just going to try and set a bit of context. Are you or have you been in a position at work where you basically maybe took on a new role or a project or a task or a team and you happen to inherit or have inherited the liabilities, in quotes, that comes with the role or the challenges, or the liabilities, challenges that tend to come with the role. And most times, really, most roles, functions, any growth comes. So I think my pastor says, for every new level, there's a new devil. Every role comes with its own responsibilities, demands, and at times, challenges and liabilities too, that you have to manage alongside the benefits, the impact, the visibility, and all the other good stuff. So I'm going to be reading from 2 Samuel, and this is just the context or story on how David managed the liabilities of his new role, which also included the loyalist of his predecessor. So he had basically been appointed and assigned this new role that he did not really kill anybody for. He did not step over anybody's head. God gave him favor. He was skillful. He was headhunted and he got the role. However, his predecessor, of course, was not happy. And then also, even after his predecessors had gone or left the organization and system. So we juxtapose here. We use Bible stories to basically juxtapose with our current and practical reality. And although his predecessor had left the role, been dismissed, has left the system, and he has taken on the role, the predecessor also had loyalists. So not only was he dealing with the challenges and the stretching that comes with taking on a new role, a huge role for that matter, very huge role. It was a big leap for him from shepherd boy to king, right? He also had to deal with his predecessor's liabilities and loyalties, which were part of basically the challenges that came with the role. So I'll read from verse 5. As King David approached Bahurim, 2 Samuel 16, verse 5, I'm reading the NIV version. A man from the same clan as Saul's family, predecessor's loyalist, remember, came out from there. His name was Shimei, son of Gera, and he cursed as he came out. Literally, you just took on this new function as head of the function, and there are people that are or were very loyal to the previous head of function, and they cannot stand having you in the role. You did not exactly backstab or betray the predecessor. It's your competence, your God's favor, your skill set that brought you into the role. However, the predecessor's loyalists are sore. They are upset. They are offended. And they are determined to make your work, your life, miserable. So he says, he cursed as he came out. He pelted David and all the king's officials with stones. This is high-level insubordination. If you know anything about back in the days in the Old Testament, a king literally was considered as Lord. You are worshipped, you are revered, you are honored, you are respected, both by those that like you and those that don't. Genuinely like you and those who genuinely don't, because of the office of the kingship or royalty that you occupy. So this was a pure case of insubordination, because this is Shimei, Saul's loyalist. Of course, Saul is from the clan of Saul. So you know about carcasses and clans and all those cliques in the workplace. So when I tell you that everything is in this Bible, everything, cliquism, like we call it in the professional world, it was represented here. It was from the clan of Saul. And he was sore that his oga has been removed, like we say it in Nigerian lingo, and was determined to make David's life miserable to the point of being blatantly insubordinate. So just in case you have experienced or you're experiencing or you will experience something like this, you're not the first. You know when Bible says there's no temptation that is common to man, like you're not the groundbreaker for this kind of challenge. It exists. It happened to someone in the Bible. And that's why the Bible is always our ultimate guide, because whatever it is you think you have gone through, you're going through, or you will go through, you would always find the answers here in the Bible, even as a career and Christian professional. So let's continue. He pelted, so he was being outrightly insubordinate, disrespecting David in front of the entire team, in front of the entire organization, because he was blindly loyal to David's predecessor. And he said, he pelted David and all the king's officials with stones. So not only was he being insubordinate to David, he was also attacking the people that were loyal to David, the ones that were really willing and genuine in supporting him, his mighty men, his officials, the people that were on his team. He was also attacking them. So it's a case of, I'm going to take you down. I will ensure that you don't succeed on this job. If I have information that will help you to succeed, I will hoard it, I will sit on it, I will withhold it from you. Does that sound like a familiar territory to you? I'm saying again, it's not news. Let's keep reading. And then he says, and David and the troops and all the special guard was on David's right and left. As he cursed, Shimei said, get out, you murderer, you scoundrel. Literally, he was laying accusations. David was no murderer. He didn't kill Saul. Saul fell on his own sword. Saul literally took wrong steps that led up to his own death, his death and his son's death. So this was him not just being insubordinate, he was peddling accusations at David. He just took on this new role. And it's like he also inherited problems of the predecessor, the liabilities that come with this responsibility. And he was like, you scoundrel, the Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul. Which blood did he shed? Read your Bible. David did not touch Saul. He did not touch Jonathan. They did bad all by themselves. He said, the Lord has repaid you. He said, you think that you can betray and backstab and basically weasel your way into this role? Oh yeah, come and deliver. Let's see. I will frustrate you and ensure that you cannot deliver anything. You will not get anything out of this function. Say, you are now struggling a bit. Because at times you enter new roles, offices and functions. And initial stage, it is not unusual to struggle, especially when it's something that is way higher than what you were doing before then. It's not unusual to struggle. It's not unusual to basically stumble a bit before you find your rhythm. So that was what was happening to David. He was finding his rhythm in this new role. But Saul's loyalists, his predecessor's loyalists, were basically fault-finding, accusing and peddling insults at him and saying, Shay, you wanted to take this guy's job. You have taken it now. You see, you are suffering. You can't even deliver. Look at your first report. Flawed. Flawed to the teeth. God is now punishing you. You thought you could take out someone to get into the role. Let's see how you're going to deliver. That's what was happening to David. He was basically being accused, and support was being hoarded by people that ideally were supposed to be working with him. So let me continue. It says, the Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. You took his rule, Abi. God will punish you. That's what they were telling him. And it was all false. David basically rightly earned and deserved the role by God's favor and his skill set. It says, the Lord has given the kingdom into the hands of your son Absalom. He now started, basically, the case of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So because David took over the throne from Saul and his Saul's clan or clique or loyalists in the industry, anybody that is now openly opposing David has become his friend. Of course, David's own son, even his closest people were betraying him also in this same office. So it was like, here you see, even your own people are now betraying you. It is God that has now made Absalom, the kingdom has come into his hands. You will come to ruin because you're a murderer. Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said to the king, you know, God will always give you your people. I believe that I've spoken about willing troops. Yes, it's one of the podcasts that we have shared in recent times, where it says in Psalms that your troops will be willing on your day of battle. It's something I pray as often as possible, that Lord, I will always have willing troops. I will command love and loyalty on my day of battle. My willing troops will show up. God will always, in any position you are, God will always give you willing troops that will be willing to fight with you and for you on your day of battle. And in this case, for David in verse 9, was Abishai. And the other guys, Abishai quickly was like, what? Why should this dead dog, as he went straight for him, how dare you insult my line manager? I can be like that. I'm a winning triple. When it comes to my line manager, people I report to, especially if I'm not like you, I am such a winning troop. Don't come for my line manager. Don't come for my team. You will have to get past me. I will stand in your way. I will fight you. I am a winning troop. Because I also expect to have winning troops when my own day of battle comes. But I can be such a winning troop in the workplace. Loyalist. When I know that we're doing the job and we're doing it okay. And then you now want to sabotage or you want to become a scoundrel. I can Abishai you. Literally, I can Abishai you. So Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse the Lord, my king? Let me go over and cut off his head. Let me deal with this guy. What's all this rubbish? Let me deal with him straight up. His email he wants to send. Let me answer him. All of us, we have the power of typing. Let's respond. Let me attack him fire for fire. Boss, leave this mail. Let me handle this guy. I have the facts and information to take him down. But the king said, David said, what does this have to do with you? You know, there's a book I read a while back when I was growing up. I believe it was Robert Schuller. I still can't remember the title of that book. I'm hoping that one day I will find it. But I know there's a Robert Schuller book. I read it growing up then as a teenager. And one of the things I learned, and it was about the life of David, basically his journey in and to the throne. And one of the things that I learned, one of the chapters was, there's a time to run and there's a time to fight back. That don't run when you should be fighting back, and don't fight back when you should run. That one of the things that ensured that David was a successful king was he always knew when to run. He knew when to run from battle. He knew when to fight back when he was being opposed. So this was one of those times that David knew that this was not a time to fight back. Not because he was a coward or anything. Like one of my sister always says in Nigerian proverb and parlance, he says, it's not every rain that falls that we used to carry buckets for. It's not every rain that falls that we carry bucket to fetch. Some rain, just leave it. Another one, they typically say another proverb. I think it's an Igbo proverb. They say it in Igbo, but I'll just translate it in English. Let everything that beat you in the night, let's just leave it and count it to be mosquito. So whether it is cockroach, whether it is rats, whether it is a bee that stung you, whether it's scorpion, let's not analyze. Like, it's not every rain that falls that will be carrying buckets to fetch. So leave everything that beat you in the night, just count it or credit it to be mosquito. Because mosquito is typically what legally bites people at night in West Africa, in this side of town. So this was that case of, we're not fighting back on this one. David always knew when to run and when to fight back. And he said to Abishai, say, what does it have to do with you? If he's cursing, is because the Lord said to him, and he said, curse David. Of course, David kind of wallowed in self-pity on this particular line. Not necessary. Because God put you there and not tell someone to go and curse you. I think on this particular verse, he wallowed in self-pity for a bit because he was already experiencing betrayal from his nearest and dearest, which is his own son, as in the child from his loins. He was already experiencing betrayal from his nearest and dearest. So that can kind of break anybody. And he was already vulnerable. He was wallowing in self-pity. That's when he went down that road in verse 10. Then, verse 11, David then sent to Abishai and all his officials, my son, my own flesh and blood, like I said, is trying to kill me. Like, my own people in this room, someone that is supposed to be like, look at this guy that I trained, I brought him in as an intern. He's now a manager. He too has joined the enemy's camp. He's trying to sabotage me. That can really hurt. I mentored this guy when he didn't know his right and left from IT, in HR, in business analytics, in product management. I literally taught him everything he knew, and now suddenly he now wants to come for my head. He wants to come for my role. That can really hurt. So David was already in a vulnerable spot, and he was like, this is not the time to fight back. And really, when you are vulnerable, it might not be a wise idea to fight back. It might just be a wise idea to retreat strategically. Don't fight when you don't have strength. You're exposing yourself. So David had this wisdom. And that's one of the reasons why he never lost the battle. So let's continue. And so I'm sharing the learnings as we go in the reading. But I will get to the point of arriving though exhausted. And he said his son is trying to kill him. I'm on verse 11. Say, how much more than this Benjamin, if the one that is, as in, supposed to be my own team, is trying to sabotage and backstab me, how much more somebody else from another function that is from Saul's clan? What really are you expecting from him? Do you understand? And he was like, leave him alone. Let him curse for the Lord has told him to wallow in self-pity again. It may be that the Lord will look upon, maybe, like I said, self-pity, his misery, and restore him to his covenant blessings of his custody. Self-pity, because he was vulnerable and he was being betrayed. You see why he was wise enough to know not to fight, because he was already in a very vulnerable state. He was not in the great state of mind to address or attack or fight this guy. So he strategically just decided to retreat. So, verse 13, this is where I'm going. As in, this is David, extremely challenged and being stressed, and this is new and huge role, mandated to deliver, dealing with huge opposition from within his own team, his core team, and the external system from his predecessor's loyalists, dealing with all the many liabilities and the stress that comes with the role. However, verse 13 says, David and his men continued along the road while Shimei was going along the hillside opposite him, cursing him. Like, despite the opposition, he kept moving. He kept delivering. Like, imagine, literally, he's walking. He's still continuing on this journey. Like, I'm going to arrive at my destination. I'm going to deliver on this road. Regardless of all the pitfalls, the roadblocks, the hurdles, I will deliver in spite of and despite all these hurdles. I will deliver. So it must be, have been a very painful journey for him. Literally walking as Shimei and probably who knows how many more people, insulting him, cursing him out, pelting, throwing stones at him. But he didn't stop his journey to fight. He didn't stop his journey to address him. Though he was vulnerable, though he was exhausted, though he was stressed from that project, Bible says he continued along the road while Shimei was going along the hillside opposite him, as in despite and in spite of clear opposition, blatant opposition, David continued. And then he says, Shimei was cursing him as he went and throwing stones at him, as in throwing roadblocks, hurdles. You deliver this one, they will find fault. They will do this nitpick, try to sabotage your report, your results, everything. Literally, they were doing everything possible. When they say, come out guns blazing, Shimei came out guns blazing for David. But David continued on his journey. He says, they were throwing stones at him, showering him with death. This is all, like, literally, Shimei, his predecessor's loyalist, brought out their full armory. But did not make David stop. Did not make him retreat. Did not make him look back. And in this case, he knew also that he was too vulnerable to fight back. He decided to save and expend his energy in the right direction, which was continuing on his journey, focusing on his deliverables, focusing on his task. This year has been a very busy year. It's been hectic. How do they once want to deliver all these things? The challenges are intensifying. And you know, at times, at this time of the year end, people's KPIs, the year is rounding up, and there's now this higher pressure. I don't know how it is in your own organization and system, but most systems, there's now a higher pressure and demand to deliver. People want to close out. They want to close the loop. They want to close out on tax. They want to close out and tick boxes on deliverables and KPIs. So at times it can be very exhausting. It can be stretching. It can even be inherited pressure, extended pressure from other teams, project and opposition. People are just basically hustling, and it can be very exhausting. But guess what? You must continue on your journey. It's not an excuse not to deliver. David was literally delivering on this role. He continued the role with blatant, as in glaring opposition. As he was walking, they're throwing stones, they're cursing him out. You are a stupid guy. You're not deserving of this role. How qualified? How did you even get here? Who do you know? Is nepotism that brought you here? Who did you sleep with to arrive at the top? As in, literally, they were openly cursing him out, throwing stones and dirt at him. That's what Shimei was doing. But the Bible says he continued on his journey. Like, this year, this role, this function, this KPIs, I will deliver in spite of and despite of. In spite of how I feel and despite the opposition that is being thrown at me. That is what you call resilience. He was determined to arrive, though exhausted, though vulnerable, though betrayed, though stressed. He was determined to arrive. He was determined to deliver. He was determined to close the loop. He was determined to excel on the new job. He says, they were throwing stones at him and showering him with death. He says, verse 14, this is where I'm going. The king and all the people with him. It's not just you. You must carry your team along. I feel like today's message is for people that are in the capacity of whether leadership or you are basically leading a team or a project. This is for you. And if you are not doing that yet, it's just a matter of time. The opposition is literally almost, the Bible says it, in life you have challenges. I was saying today when I was meditating on the scripture, I said, you say in life I will have challenges, I will have trouble. It does not mean that it will be well with those that are troubling me. I will have, yes, you say I will have the trouble, but it cannot be, it does not automatically mean that it will be well with those that are troubling me. I told you I'm a willing troop. Anyways, so let's wrap this up. We're already on 20 minutes. It says the king, verse 14, the king and all the people with him arrived at their destination, exhausted, but yet they arrived. And there he refreshed himself. So you must be determined for the rest of this year, whatever goals you have committed to deliver, whatever challenges or opposition you are facing in that role, that project, that task, you must be determined and resilient enough to arrive, though exhausted. Because when you arrive, then you can refresh and recharge yourself. Regardless of the opposition you are facing, despite and in spite of how you feel, you must be determined, like David, to arrive, though exhausted. You must be determined to arrive, though exhausted. Because when you do, there you'll be refreshed. There you'll be rewarded. There you'll be compensated. I hope this has blessed someone today. I hope that you will take the learnings and apply it. And I hope that God will help you to deliver exceptionally and excellently, in spite of how you feel and despite the opposition that is thrown at you for the rest of this year or in your new role, function, or project. God bless you. Have a splendid rest of the week and connect with you or speak with you again next week. Bye.